وَلَوْ تَرَى إِذْ يَتَوَفَّى الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا. And if you could but see when the angels take the souls of those who disbelieved. Because at the Battle of Badr, 70 of them were killed. The angels, when they took their souls, how did they take them? They were striking their faces and their backs, and they were saying, taste the punishment of the burning fire. What do we see here? That before the punishment of the fire is the punishment of the hashr. Before which is the punishment of the grave. Before which is the punishment of the time of death. Because this torture that is being described here is that which will happen at the time of death, beating and striking. That is for what your hands have put forth of evil. And because Allah is not ever unjust to His servants. وَأَنَّ اللَّهَ لَيْسَ بِظَلَّامٍ لِلْعَبِيدِ. Allah is not unfair to His servants. If they end up in this result, then it is because they have brought it upon themselves. Theirs is like the custom of the people of Fir'aun and of those before them. They disbelieved in the signs of Allah. So Allah sees them for their sins. Indeed, Allah is powerful and severe in penalty. Meaning their end, the end of the mushrikeen of Makkah, was very similar to the end of who? Fir'aun. And those who followed Fir'aun. How? That they persisted in their wrong ways until eventually they were drowned. And once they were drowned, they were admitted into the fire. The punishment began from that moment onwards. Even the people of Nuh, what do we learn about them? أُغْرِقُوا وَأُدْخِلُوا نَارًا. They were drowned and they were admitted into the fire. Meaning immediately the punishment began. That is because Allah would not change a favor which He had bestowed upon a people until they change what is within themselves. And indeed, Allah is hearing and knowing. How is this not injustice that these people were living such comfortable lives? They had so much. But then what happened? They came fighting against Rasulullah ﷺ and their blessings were taken away. Their comfort was turned into torture. Why? Why was this done? Because Allah does not take a favor away from a person. He does not take the blessings away from a person until He does something Himself which becomes a cause of being deprived of those blessings. And this is something very important to understand. Blessings are only taken away when we have done something to prove ourselves unworthy. When we have done something to prove ourselves unworthy. When Allah gives a blessing to someone, then He only takes it away from him because of some sin that he has committed, because of some wrong that he has committed, because of the ingratitude that he has shown. So what do we learn from this? That a blessing that Allah has given remains with a person as long as he is grateful, or until a certain amount of time. But then when he does kufr, when he shows ingratitude, when he disbelieves, when he sins, when he disobeys Allah, then what happens? That blessing is snatched away from him. It is taken away from him. وَالْعِيَاذُ بِاللَّهِ. In a hadith we learn that once the Prophet ﷺ, before him, a man was eating with his left hand. He was eating with his left hand. So the Prophet ﷺ told him, eat with your right hand. He said, no, I cannot. I won't. He refused. And so the Prophet ﷺ said, may you never be able to do that. Meaning, may you never be able to eat with your right hand. And so it happened. That man was never able to lift his right hand up to his mouth after that day. Allah gave him the blessing of the right hand. Even if it hurt a little bit, if the Prophet ﷺ is telling him that eat with your right hand, what should he have done? At least tried. This is what we have to do. At least try. We don't even try and we say, no, this is something that's beyond me. This is something that I cannot do. And we refuse outright. So then what happens? That very blessing is then taken away from a person. And in that is not the fault of Allah. Whose fault is it? Our fault. So whenever we see that a blessing has been taken away from us, that all of a sudden something that we enjoyed has been taken away from us, what happened? What went wrong? We need to analyze ourselves. We need to ask Allah for forgiveness. We need to show gratitude for what we still have. And we need to think about our actions. Theirs is like the custom of the people of Fir'aun and those before them. They denied the signs of their Lord, so we destroyed them for their sins. And we drowned the people of Fir'aun, and all of them were wrongdoers. Indeed, the worst of living creatures in the sight of Allah are those who have disbelieved, and they will not ever believe. Meaning when the truth came before them, they still did not believe. The ones with whom you made a treaty, but then they break their pledge every time, and they do not fear Allah. So if you, O Prophet, gain dominance over them in war, then disperse by means of them, those behind them, that perhaps they too will be reminded. Meaning, when there is a group of people who recognize the truth, yet they reject it. And then you make a treaty of peace with them, but then they violate that, not just once, but many times. Then what should you do? What should you do? Do not be deceived by them. If these people come fighting against you, then you also fight them back and teach them a lesson. Be severe with them. Why? So that they learn, and those behind them also who are thinking of being treacherous with you, they also learn that cheating Muslims, betraying them, being treacherous with them is not a game. This is something serious. This is just like a teacher in a classroom. What does she do? Certain things she tolerates. But then certain actions she does not tolerate. Why? In order to teach a lesson to the whole class. In the house also, what happens? Parents, they tolerate certain bad behaviors. But then there's some other bad behaviors that are not acceptable at all. Why? So that the other children will learn that we cannot do this. لَعَلَّهُمْ يَذَّكَّرُونَ And if you have reason to fear from a people, betrayal, then throw their treaty back to them, putting you on equal terms. Indeed, Allah does not like the traitors. إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُحِبُّ الْخَائِنِينَ Meaning if you sense that some people are going to be treacherous with you, then what should you do? Openly break the treaty with them. You should not be treacherous with them in return. You understand that if someone is being treacherous with you, you do not show treachery in return. What do? You abolish the contract or whatever understanding that was there between you and them. How? Openly. You declare that now there's no treaty between us and you. Openly, you say that this contract is no longer valid. Why? Because if you cheat them in return, then what's the difference between you and them? What's the difference between you and them? So, what do we see here? That إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُحِبُّ الْخَائِنِينَ Allah does not like the traitors, those who cheat. And this is a very important thing that we need to learn. Who is it that Allah loves? Allah loves people who are honest and trustworthy. And people who betray, Allah does not like them. In a hadith we learn, the Prophet ﷺ said, that if you have four qualities in you, then whatever you lose of this world won't ever harm you. If you possess four qualities, then no matter what you suffer in this life, it won't harm you. It's not a loss because you have these four qualities. And because of these four qualities, what will happen? Whatever loss you have incurred, Allah will give you something else better in place of it. What are those qualities? Hifzul amanati, guarding trusts. And وَصِدْقُ الْحَدِيثِ Being truthful in one's speech. حُسْنُ خَلِيقَةٍ Being good in one's manners, in one's etiquette. And fourthly, عِفَّةٌ فِي طَعَامٍ Meaning, consuming halal rizq. Being careful with respect to the food that a person is acquiring, the money that a person is making. And in that, being able to leave what is unlawful. Being able to abstain from what is not yours. So if a person has these four qualities, Rasulullah ﷺ said, that then you don't need to fear any loss. And one of them is what? One of them is hifzul amana. Guarding trusts. That if you possess this quality, then you are successful. And we see that the reason why Allah does not like khaineen is because amana and khiyana, they're not the same at all. They're not the same at all. They're two different ways of life. You see, khiyana, it cannot be with amana in the same heart. The Prophet ﷺ said, Iman and kufr cannot be together in one heart. Truthfulness and lying cannot be together. And khiyana and amana cannot be together. They cannot be together. They're two completely different ways of life. So, the person who values Allah's love, what will he do? He will leave khiyana. And he will fulfill his obligations, fulfill his duties. He will not leave his task until he has completed it. Until he has done what he was asked to do. He will not leave it unattended. He will not leave it unfinished. No, he will do his work. وَلَا يَحْسَبَنَّ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا سَبَقُوا إِنَّهُمْ لَا يُعْجِزُونَ And let not those who disbelieve think that they will escape. Indeed, they will not cause failure to Allah. They will be overcome. And then the Muslims are taught a very important matter. That prepare against them, meaning against the enemy, whatever you are able of power and of steeds of war. The Muslims, the believers, are instructed to keep ready. Keep ready for what? For battle in future. And remember, this was after the Battle of Badr, which was the first battle, which meant that many more would happen later on. And that was true. Many more battles came afterwards. But what we learn from this is that we should be proactive. That when a challenge is coming, when there's a threat that is real, then be ready, be prepared from before. Don't scramble around at the last moment. Be ready, be prepared from before. Now for Ramadan, just a few days are left. A couple days are left. Make a meal plan. Think what you're going to eat, when you're going to eat, when you're going to be doing your groceries. Make a plan. Decide from before. Because if you don't do it, what's going to happen? Half an hour before iftar, when you should be sitting and making dua, you will be scrambling in the kitchen trying to put some food together. At sahur time, when you should be doing istighfar, you'll be running around trying to prepare your food so that you can eat it. So what do we learn? Be ready, be prepared from before. When something is coming and there's no avoiding it, you have to deal with it. There's no avoiding it, then accept it. Accept it and prepare for it from before. Now later on, whether it happens or not, that's a different story. That's a different story. Just like, you know, when the weekend comes in, then do you make sure that your house is clean? Why? Because what if somebody comes? Now whether or not somebody comes, that's a different story. But at least your house is clean. So that as the guests are coming in, as somebody comes up, you're not running around to put the shoes away and put the jackets away and clean up the kitchen and tidy up the mess. What do you want to do at that time? Receive your guest. Right? So people who are successful in life are those who are proactive, who are ready and prepared from before. So be ready from before. And why should you be ready from before? Especially for battle? Because then, with this preparation, you will terrify the enemy of Allah. And also your enemy. And others besides them who you do not know, but whom Allah only knows. And whatever you spend in the cause of Allah will be fully repaid to you. And you will not be wronged. So spending in the cause of Allah is the best form of charity. And remember, this is something that Allah calls قَرْضْ حَسَنَةً. This is a beautiful loan that a person gives to Allah. Meaning Allah will definitely return that to him. So in preparation for something for the cause of Allah, when you have to spend some time, spend some money, then remember this is an investment. This is not a waste. And if they incline to peace, meaning if the enemy inclines to peace, then what should you do? Insist on fighting? Just because you're ready for it? No. Then you should also incline to it. Meaning avoid war. Avoid war. But be ready. Be ready. And this shows that in Sira also, any battle that the Prophet ﷺ participated in, it was not because the Muslims loved bloodshed or they wanted to kill the enemy. The purpose was what? To maintain their own security. The purpose was to maintain their own security because Muslim blood had become very cheap. We learned that at the time when the Prophet ﷺ went to perform Umrah, and the mushrikeen of Makkah did not let the Muslims in. They were raising their weapons to fight the Muslims. What happened? The Prophet ﷺ, he said that this war has consumed the Quraysh. It has consumed them, meaning they have become addicted to it. It's as if they cannot think of any other option but war. Because the Muslims had come in the state of ihram, not with weapons, but with their sacrificial animals. So we see that the objective, the purpose of Muslims is not just to fight for the cause of fighting, for the purpose of fighting, for the sake of fighting. The purpose is much greater. War is just a means. So if you can get those means, if you can reach that destination of peace and security through something other than war, then accept it. You don't have to always fight. You don't always have to argue. You don't always have to cause bloodshed. وَتَوَكَّلْ عَلَى اللَّهِ and rely upon Allah. So beautiful. Because when you have some strength, you want to show it. And if you don't show it, you feel that the other is going to take advantage of that. Right? Like for example, you have the strength and you can yell at someone, you can tell them off. But if they are apologizing, then accept that apology. You don't have to punish them. But what do we think? No, I have to punish him. I have to punish her, because if I don't, then they will misuse me. Right? So what does Allah say? Tawakkal ala Allah. Rely upon Allah. Indeed, it is He who is the hearing and the knowing. But if they intend to deceive you, then sufficient for you is Allah. It is He who supported you with His help and with the believers. Meaning right now Allah helped you. Later on if these people deceive you, so what? Allah will help you again. Allah is on your side. وَأَلَّفَ بَيْنَ قُلُوبِهِمْ And Allah brought together their hearts. Whose hearts? The hearts of the believers. Because remember, it's not just necessary to prepare weapons. It is also necessary to prepare hearts. If people are not together, if they are not united, if they do not love each other, then what will happen? They cannot stand together. It doesn't matter how much money they have, how many resources they have. It doesn't matter. If their hearts are not united, then the cause will never be successful. But if the team is solid, if the hearts are together, then what will happen? With limited resources also, they will be successful. They will attain their goal. So over here we see that وَأَلَّفَ بَيْنَ قُلُوبِهِمْ Allah joined their hearts together. If, O Prophet ﷺ, you had spent all that is in the earth, you could not have brought their hearts together. But Allah brought them together. Indeed, He is exalted in might and wise. Allah brought the hearts of the believers together. What do we see? That mutual love, loving one another, this is a sign of iman. This is a part of our faith. The Prophet ﷺ said that the believer loves and he is loved in return. He loves and he is loved. And the person who does not love, who is not loved, then there's no good in him. Because that means he cannot work with others. And if he cannot work with others, he's alone. How far can he go? How long can he continue? He cannot go much farther. So the believer is who? The one who loves. And we see that without loving one another, entry into Jannah is also impossible. Because the Prophet ﷺ, he said that you shall not enter paradise so long as you do not have iman. And you cannot have iman as long as you don't love each other. Should I not tell you how you should love each other? Say salam to one another. Why? How is salam the key to loving each other? Because salam is the key to communication. Isn't it? When you greet somebody, what is usually the next question or the next comment or something like that? How are you? Isn't it? When we ask the other person, how are you? And they ask you how you are, and then you'd really share with them how you are, not just a typical alhamdulillah without even feeling alhamdulillah. Right? Because we say alhamdulillah without even feeling alhamdulillah. We just say that. Right? But then when we openly communicate with each other, then what happens? This is something that brings people together. Right? It starts conversation, and this conversation brings people together, and when they're together, they will begin to help each other, love each other. And when they will love each other, they will strengthen each other. When they will strengthen each other, what is it that will grow? Their work, their mutual cause, that is what will grow. But if we don't even say salam to each other, then what will happen? What will happen? We don't know each other. So today, before you leave, make sure you have said salam to everybody who has come here. Okay? Because we have been sitting here for so many days. But it's sad that we still don't know each other. That's not good. That's not nice. Okay? We have to know each other. Ask each other, where do you come from? How are you? What's your name? I'm seeing you here for the first time. Ask each other, inshaAllah. So وَأَلَّفَ بَيْنَ قُلُوبِهِمْ. This mutual love is a blessing. It's a sign of iman. يَا أَيُّهَا النَّبِيُّ. O Prophet, حَسْبُكَ اللَّهِ. Sufficient for you is Allah. And after His help, you don't need anybody's help. If Allah's help is there, then Allah is sufficient for you. Because think about it, every help that comes our way, it has come from who? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He is the source of all help. So hasbukallah, put your trust in Allah, and Allah will be sufficient for you. Don't put your trust in your planning, in your money, in your resources, in your friends, in your family. Put your trust in Allah. Tell yourself that I will only be successful if Allah allows me. Seek His help. Actively seek His help. And when you're doing something, remind yourself you're doing this for Allah so that you can receive His help. وَمَنِ اتَّبَعَكَ مِنَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. And for whoever follows you of the believers. Meaning until the end of time. Any believer who follows the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then Allah is sufficient for him. Allah will aid him. Allah will guide him. Allah will support him. Any believer who follows Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You see, ittiba'ur rasul, it has so many benefits. So many benefits. Earlier we learned in Surah Ali Imran that in kuntum tuhibbuna Allah fattabi'uni yuhibbukum Allah. You love Allah, then follow the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. What will happen? Allah will love you. You will earn Allah's love. Can you imagine becoming the person whom Allah loves? Because, you know, we all claim to love Allah. But loving somebody one-sided, that's not enough. What matters is if we are loved in return. Because one-sided love is torture. It is deception. Isn't it so? It is deception that a person is thinking that, oh, I love them and hopefully things should be good. But then what happens? They're treated so harshly that they get hurt. So one-sided love is torture. When love is both-sided, then that is mercy. That is truly a blessing. So when a person will follow Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, what does he earn? What does he earn? The love of Allah. And over here we learn, the one who follows Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then what does he get? What does he get? Allah's help. Hasbukallah. Then Allah is sufficient for him. Allah will not leave him to others. O Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, urge the believers to battle. Meaning battling is something that's not easy. It is difficult. It has its challenges. And while everyone knows that it's the right thing to do, it is something difficult. People feel weak. So the role of the leader is to motivate those who are with him. So in our families also, what is it that we need to do? Motivate, encourage our family members to fast, to pray, to give charity in the month of Ramadan. Because everybody knows it's the right thing to do. But the difficulty of it discourages us. So what is it that we need to do? Encourage each other. If there are among you 20 people who are steadfast, they will overcome 200. 20 believers who are steadfast are sufficient to defeat the enemy of 200 people. And if there are among you 100 who are steadfast, they will overcome 1,000 of those who have disbelieved. Why? Because there are people who do not understand. They do not have the strength of iman. They do not have the strength of sabr. They do not have the strength of relying upon Allah. And you have that. So when you have that strength, then use it. Use it. You see, for a believer, whatever he does, what is promised to him? Allah's help. Allah's help is promised. Why not use it? Why not use it? Allah is offering us so much and we take only a little bit. So what do we need to do? Remember, the greater the challenge, the greater Allah's help will be. You know, when this building was purchased, when we came into this building, we thought, how are we going to use it? This is so big. It's so big. It's beyond our needs. But we decided that inshallah, this is an opportunity. If Allah has made it possible for us, why not? And the building was purchased. And one of the shuyukh, he had come. He gave the first khutbah in the masjid. And he said that, may Allah fill this building for you. And we wondered, how is that going to be? How is that going to be? He said, we hope that this building becomes small for you. And today it is small for us. That today we don't have any classroom where we can sit. We have to tell the boys who are doing hifz in the masjid to go sit in the classrooms, the small rooms, so that we can have our class over here. And may Allah reward them also, because this is their place, the masjid, where they come to sit and memorize the Qur'an. But they have given us our space so that we can study here. So the point is that many times we think, we don't need to put in this much effort. We don't need to go that far. We don't need to dream big. What do we learn? Dream big. Have big goals. And what will happen? Allah's help will come. Allah's help will come. Now, Allah has lightened the hardship for you. And He knows that among you is weakness. So if there are from you 100 who are steadfast, they will overcome 200. The greater the iman, the greater the patience, the more help of Allah a person will receive. And if there are among you 1,000, they will overcome 2,000 by permission of Allah. And Allah is with the steadfast. So what do we learn? The help of Allah comes when a person does sabr. The Prophet ﷺ said that nasr, help, is with sabr. The help of Allah comes how? With patience. Meaning you have to be patient first, so that the help of Allah will come. If we're not patient, then why should the help of Allah come? You understand? Like for example, if there is a person who says, I want to have a degree, then they can't just get a degree sitting at home. What do they have to do? Go apply to a college, apply for a program, start studying, and then eventually they will get a degree. If you're sitting, if you're not doing anything, you're not going to get anything. So we keep complaining about the fact that we don't have the help of Allah. We need to see, what are we doing? The help of Allah will be according to the work that we are doing. If we are doing little work, we will get little help. But if we take on a bigger challenge, then inshallah the help that will come will also be bigger. It will be greater. And remember, our job is to make the intention to be patient. And the one who is given patience, then all the difficulties of life, they become easy for him. The Prophet ﷺ said, whoever remains patient, then Allah will make him patient. Allah will make him patient. Nobody can be given a blessing better and greater than sabr. It is not for a prophet to have captives of war until he inflicts a massacre upon Allah's enemies in the land. Some Muslims desire the commodities of this world, but Allah desires for you the hereafter. And Allah is exalted in might and wise. We learned that there was some difference concerning the captives, because 70 people were brought in at the Battle of Badr as captives. Muslims caught 70 people from the enemy as captives. And now, some Muslims suggested that these captives be killed, because they had been fighting against the Muslims. They had been harming the Muslims a lot, so they should be punished duly. But others suggested that no, they should be pardoned for a ransom. Because when they will give a ransom, then what will happen? The Muslims will become financially stronger. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed that this was not right. You should not have done that. Your goal is not to make yourself financially stronger. Your goal is what? To raise the word of Allah. And any hurdle that comes in that path, you have to remove that hurdle. Your goal is not to make yourself rich. What do we see here? Initially, when the anfal were mentioned, the booty was mentioned, the Muslims were told, that's not for you. Here also they're told, why did you seek the arad of the dunya? It's as though the love of the world is being rooted out completely. Completely. This is not your goal. The money, this is not your goal. If not for a decree from Allah that preceded, you would have been touched for what you took by a great punishment. So consume what you have taken of war booty as being lawful and good, and fear Allah. Indeed, Allah is forgiving and merciful. Meaning, okay, now it has happened, you took the ransom. But you took it through halal way. So it is halal, enjoy it. Take it. What a beautiful balance we are being taught over here. Wealth is not evil. What is evil is its love for it. Lawful use of money, good use of money, correct use of money, it is something that's right. It is something that should be done. It is something that's positive because Allah has given these blessings to us, so we should use them, we should enjoy them. The problem comes when we become too attached to these things. When they become our goal, when they become our focus, they should not be the focus. Because if they become the focus, then what happens? Then if a person gets money, he'll be happy. And if he doesn't get it, he'll be unhappy. His intentions will be corrupted.